It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man. Good man in the community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
And tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to That Podcast, episode 27. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell what time it is. Oh.
What's good, man?
This was good.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't it?
It was very good.
Right?
It was. We got to see Mr. Matthew Sweet here in Bologna last night.
Yeah,
and it
as
was
we take
a
this.
Good show.
Yeah.
I'm playing hurt as all champions.
Here. That's right. Champions champion. Teamwork makes the dream work, Jay. That's right.
Or so I'm told.
That's right. So again, welcome to It's That Podcast. We saw Matthew Sweet last night, and we're going to talk about that here in a bit. There's something we didn't get to last week that we want to get to this week.
About
a certain team, my friend, from a certain city. Begins with a C, ends with an O, and in the middle is Hickag. That's right. The Bears. Bears. So when this comes out, when this podcast comes out.
Correct.
It will be 4 days until training camp opens. So this podcast will come out on the 19th. Training camp opens in 2 days. 21st in lovely Bourbonnais.
So get some.
That's right.
Yeah. The people that live down there.
Yeah.
Used to call it Bourbonus.
Bourbonus for the longest
time.
Yeah.
And Bourbonnais became a thing just like, 10 years, 15 years?
Since the Bears were there, right?
Yeah.
I think, as far as I know, somebody somewhere called it Bourbonnais. And that's what we got. So
sticks.
That's what it is. It's Bourbonnais, it is.
And they used to do it in Wisconsin.
They used to do Platteville, Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right.
Right over the border. But over by the Minnesota side of Wisconsin. So it was a bit of a haul.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that we're both an hour away, roughly.
Right.
Ballpark from Bourbonnais.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to training camp.
No.
No. No desire. Usually it's too freaking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to stand out there in that. Like, I'm a Bears fan, but nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, only...
You don't want to get signed stuff and weird.
Yeah. That's for kids.
It is.
Take
your kids to that.
You know, if they're old enough to like the Bears, which they should be, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying this. I asked our associate producer, Bill, to go every year.
Yeah.
And he always tells me it's dumb, and so we don't.
But understandable.
Every year I bring it up because I'm like, it'd be cool. It's just down the road.
It's not far.
Get a good look. See
I know
a
couple places.
With.
I know a couple places in Bourbonnais. Be nice little.
Yeah.
Have a couple 2-tree.
There
pops.
You go. With the team?
Probably not.
Okay.
But
they
still,
go to, there's like one bar they go to.
Yeah, there's one bar where all the, like the score and the, all the guys go to.
Right.
But
hey, speaking of that,
I
can't believe these words are actually going to come out of my mouth.
Okay.
But Brent Musburger told a good story.
Oh, he always does. Brent's my guy.
Oh,
I love,
come
you don't
on,
like Brent,
man.
You don't like Brent?
I used to. I loved him in the 70s on, you know, for the NFL. That was my Sunday go-to show.
NFL Today.
Yeah.
You're looking live.
But he's old and weird now.
Yeah, he is.
And he's grumpy.
Yeah.
And in the last thing that... this is completely off topic now from my story, but when Phil Simms got replaced by Tony Romo and everybody loved him.
Yep.
And Musburger went off.
Yeah.
He's like, you think he's so great now? Well, just wait for a few more years when he doesn't know anybody in the league anymore. And then his insights won't be as great.
Right.
And, you know, Phil was a gentleman and just a wonderful
I'm
blah,
not debating
blah.
Any of that.
Yeah, you know.
Especially the Phil Simms part. I'm sure Phil Simms was a nice guy.
Right. Hard to listen to.
But you got to keep turning it.
You
know,
do.
You got to keep turning it.
Got to keep moving.
Musburger, right. Just to hit back on Musburger before we talk about the Bears.
No, before I tell my story, Joe.
Oh, Jesus. I totally walked all over the story.
That's all right. Go right ahead.
But for those of you who don't know, Brett Musburger has started a gambling online network called VSiN, or he's part of it. I think he's part of it with the owner of the D casino. They're in cahoots together on this thing.
Okay.
And it's basically, it's a streaming network online with gambling information. That's all it is. And now that sports gambling is starting to make its way through the country now with the law being, you know, overruled in the Supreme Court and everything, it's taking a bigger place. So we had the vision at least to see that.
Yeah.
And to hit on sports gambling real quick and then you can go to your story. The Meadowlands, I saw on Twitter today, the Meadowlands is going to be opening a sports book in the Meadowlands.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
FanDuel is going to be running their sports book.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I digress. You're a Brett Musburger story.
And believe it or not, it actually tied into what we were talking about. There you go. In 63, Musburger was here in town, or I'm sorry, in Chicago, and a beat guy. And he hung out with the Bears on Rush Street drinking.
Okay.
So it's him and Doug Adkins and a bunch of other cats. And it gets to be like midnight. And Adkins has had enough of other people. So he kicked them all out of the bar. He's like, everybody out. Let's go. It's time to go. So it was just the Bears left and Musburger there drinking. And they started talking about salaries. And Adkins was getting worked up. And he goes, you know what? I need a raise. I need a raise. Yeah. And there was a payphone right next to the actual stool, the bar that he was at. So he calls Hallis at 1 a.m. and starts screaming at him. And you could hear it go back and forth. Papa Bear yelling back at him. And he's like, no, you listen here. I love stories like that.
Me too.
It's just.
Oh, the stories
real
of like,
stuff you'd never get to like hear the Harry Carey if you weren't
stories.
There.
Oh, like the Harry Carey stories where he kept legend. He kept a notebook every single bar he went to, who he was with, and how much he paid because the White Sox reimbursed him for it.
Right.
And they signed him to that attendance clause, which I bet they regretted.
I bet they did.
He made a lot of money with a lot of people showing up, which good on him.
I mean, right.
Make all that dough you can. But to circle back now to the Bears.
Yes.
Bears.
That's why you called.
That is why you called. So we got training camp starting soon. The question is going to be this.
There's so many questions.
Tons of them, obviously. Will Tariq Cohen be an every down-ish back, right? Because he has the physical talent, like the skill, right? To be an NFL quarterback, but he's just so small, right? He's 5'8", buck 65 or whatever he is. And to run how an NFL team needs him to run, his career is gonna be short.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a fact. That's just a fact, right?
Yeah.
You still have Jordan Howard, who can't catch a pass, apparently, out of the backfield, which in this offense is almost death because there's so many passing options that are going to be available to Trubisky now.
Yeah.
In terms of not so much the weapons he has, but just the way the offense is created.
Yeah, and let's look at that. I mean, I don't even know why I'm going to mention Kevin White at this point.
Yeah.
But that cat has always been an X, right?
Yeah.
And now they've got an X.
They do.
That was really good in 2015.
Yeah. And 2016.
And right.
Until he broke his leg in 2017.
Correct.
Yeah.
So.
Or blew out his knee. Sorry, not broke his
leg. Where are you going to put him?
That's a great question.
I mean,
he's not a slot receiver.
No.
But we don't know. Does he still have the speed to even be an X?
I don't know. Yeah, that's.
Right, when you've got a rod in your shin.
Let's go to training camp, Joe.
Yeah, come on, let's go. When you have a rod in your leg, and does that affect your speed? Does it slow you down? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is he bionic? Is he like Steve Austin?
we can build him.
That's right. That's right.
Bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah. I mean, will that affect his speed at all? That's another question going into camp.
Yeah.
Is what role does he have? Because this is it. He's got to make his, this is it.
And see, to me, apparently the Bears want to make Gabriel a Y.
Yeah.
But he seems like a possession guy to me.
It kind of does. I agree with you.
So
maybe Kevin White's that Y. But again, Kevin White, he's got to show something, man. This is it.
Yeah.
He's on.
Fourth year's the charm.
He's on the last year of his rookie deal. The team has the option for the fifth, obviously. But after that, he's got to get paid.
What's the over-under, man? How many games is he active for in the 18-19 season?
Oh, man, that's a...
Where should we set it? At eight?
Yeah, eight, 7.5 or eight.
Okay.
7.5 maybe even. Get the hook in there.
In 3 years, he's only played six games?
I think so. Something like that. Some incredibly small amount of games.
Right.
And the talent, I mean...
Let's say he comes out this year and blows up. Let's say he's the next big thing.
Right.
Does he give the Bears a hometown discount for putting up with this as long as they did? Do the Bears just say good riddance?
If I had to guess, they won't. Or he won't, I should say.
Yeah.
Because players get fucked.
They do.
They need to make as much money as they can now.
Yeah.
No matter how good or perceived good.
He has to take the mask off first.
He does have to take the mask off first. That's right. But he's got to get it done, man. This is it.
Yeah.
And he's the question mark there. Is the line going to be any good? Right? Kyle Long is coming back. How good is he going to be? Because there's workout videos on his Twitter account where he's killing it. But those are just workouts.
And, well, they're going to have the stability of Cody Whitehair at center.
Yeah.
Daniels, they want to make a guard.
Yeah.
And he, apparently, the first 2 years in college, he looked really good at guard.
Yeah.
And the only reason he moved to center is because their center left to go to the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, at first, I questioned that. I'm like, why are you moving guys? What's the deal? But the guy that is the offensive line coach, is it Heistad?
Yeah.
He's done a great job moving people around.
Yep.
And kind of keeping that line
together.
Because if Mitch doesn't have any time, we're never going to see.
Right. All this is pointless.
Right.
And then you switch to defense, right?
Yeah.
What role is Roquan Smith going to play? Is he going to be a end rusher, linebacker, hybrid dealio? Is he just going to play linebacker? On the other side of Floyd.
I like the looks of that.
I do too, a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Because you want double-digit sacks out of Floyd this year.
You got to get that too. He's another one. He's got to get paid, man, and it's time.
Right.
Time to fight through all the injuries you've had and get it done.
So the Bears are a top 10 defense again this year, if they are.
Which they were last year.
Right.
They were ninth or 10th.
If they are. And let's say your offense is 15th.
Right. Playoffs?
I'm never going to go that far on this. But I might go 9 games.
7, 8, 9 wins?
Yeah. Which would be really nice. And again, I'm not expecting
it's going to be a little short of playoffs. Because just in the division you're in is so tough.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't think the Packers are going to be that great this year.
Yeah, maybe not.
And not the Lions, but I think the Vikings are going to set the standard. Mr. Vikings going to love hearing that too.
And I know the NFL pundits are kind of picking the Bears to be their sleeper team.
Right.
Which as a pessimistic Bears fan, having sat through the last 5 years of Bears crap. Utter crap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little pessimistic on that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them be the sleeper team and love to see them rifle off and win 10 games and make the playoffs. And nothing would make me happier as a Bears fan. But there's a realism involved. And the realism is you got a new head coach under a new system. You've got a lot of question marks, especially with some of your higher draft picks from the last few years in White and Floyd. Roquan Smith, what's he going to do? Is he... what role is he going to play in this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
You signed Kyle Fuller to that ridiculous offer sheet, which just still to this day makes me ill.
Well,
that you're paying him that kind of money.
Well,
but it comes down to
you wanted him to pay him half that because he played half a season.
Yeah, I do.
So, okay,
I want him to not make that. and they did sign all the receivers they signed, Robinson and stuff like that.
We'll see.
And I have hopes. I'll tell you this. I will say this.
Well,
Bears games are going to be fun to watch again.
I think you're right.
I hope.
I think you're right because, and you mentioned the weapons. I mean, not only the receivers, but the tight ends they're bringing in, they're going to use like receivers.
Yeah, because that's how Ertz is using in the Eagles and Kelsey.
Yep.
With Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's how this whole thing kind of revolves around. It takes they don't just go, you know, like the last few years, the Bears, the tight ends kind of been an afterthought,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they went out and they drafted Shaheen, but I mean, he wasn't really the focus. Like, he was only on the field like 19 times in the first six games and hardly ever in the red zone, which the guy's 6'8".
Yeah.
Like, it baffles me.
It's been since Greg Olsen, we haven't really had somebody probably to Martellus throw to. Bennett. Yeah.
Martellus Bennett was probably the last good one.
I guess I'll give you that. And
Zach Miller before he obliterated his leg.
Yeah.
Which is so unfortunate.
It is. He'll never play again, right?
No.
Yeah. There was a question of if he would keep his leg.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because all the blood loss and.
No, Martellus Bennett's a good call there. Yeah. I guess I was locked into the Greg Olsen getting traded because Martz didn't want to throw to a tight end.
It just makes me ill.
He goes, they're just another lineman.
Some of the reason.
Another lineman.
Like, what? And you have a weapon. I mean, like, Olsen's away. He's proven in his career that he's a weapon.
Still. To this day. Leaving the Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
He's just another lineman. Like, come on, man. Really? I'm glad he's no longer in the league.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Because he's old anyway.
Yeah. So, and
it had like its time and place, but like tight ends are so vital right now.
Yeah.
As possession type receivers, right? Not necessarily deep threats, but when you need that, it's third and six and you need that, get it to the tight end, man. Let him hammer it home. Get it to him and let him run it.
No.
He's big. He's going to truck DBs enough to get the first down.
Yeah. Back to Shaheen, man.
Yeah.
6'8", not getting the ball.
Is that a reflection of... is that a reflection of John Fox? we don't want to get him the ball. I'm Principal McVicker from the Beavis and Butthead. Is it him or is it...
I don't know. I mean...
Because I find it hard to believe that
they wouldn't try that, right?
Or an offensive... Somebody as offensive mind as Nagy is, wouldn't try to get him the ball,
right,
in the red zone.
Yes,
you can't teach height,
right?
Right.
And I'm glad you brought it back to height because that was my first glimpse of Anthony Miller. Was God, that guy's small.
Yeah, and he's supposed to. I mean,
he's supposed to be a red zone threat,
and he impressed in minicamp,
sure,
the whole nine yards. That's another reason why Kevin White...
Showing that strength.
Kevin White may not see a whole lot of the field.
I think he has to. I think if he's healthy, you've got to play him every down. Well,
you have to get him out there. You have to see what you got.
Yeah.
And you got to let him show you what he has.
Right.
Otherwise, you're just going to cut bait at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And it's another wasted pick by... upper pick by the Bears.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. I mean, I'm going to say it's his fault.
It was Pace's first. Pace's first pick. Yeah.
I mean, he broke his leg.
And then his foot.
And then his foot. And then he re-broke his leg.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, come on, man. It's put up or shut up now.
Yeah.
Now it's shit or get off the pot.
That stress fracture, though, they said was from, you know, doing all the training for the combine.
Yeah.
And which is where the Bears fell in love with him. So.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting season. Like I said, they're going to be fun to watch again, I hope. And interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And you don't go into every game with just how bad are they going to lose this time, right?
Right.
Like you just sit there and you're like, okay.
Can they stay competitive in the first half?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And that was how I used to watch.
It's like, can we make it to halftime within a touchdown?
But we don't get the Glennon Circus this year. So
correct. All that crap's all gone.
Yeah.
Trubisky's the man now. So he
and you know what? And I enjoyed watching last year just for him, just to see him.
I agree.
I honestly did.
And he wasn't terrible.
No. You know me, man. I'm normally a radio guy, but I actually wanted to see this kid play. So I would watch TV.
Yeah. Like, football's made for television.
It is.
The NFL's made for television.
It is.
Going to games is the experience, I'm sure, is fun, but.
Well. Once Soldier Field puts in a sport book, my friend.
That's right. My friend's out beater, both hands betting. Give me the Bears. Bears. Sir, what bet would you like? Bears. No, against? I mean, do you want the over-under? Do you want the spread, money line, bears? Why don't I just give it one each? Why don't I just give you the one of everyone? Bears.
That's it.
That's it. That's it, and that's all. That's the way it goes. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. But
we will. And leaving the NFL right now, we're going to tease next week.
Yeah.
We're going to have a college football expert.
Yeah. We're going to have a
do weekly hits with us until the start of the season.
Yeah.
So you can look forward to about 6 weeks of.
Because they're close. They're running up to opening day. It's not far away.
Right.
In my work world, I wish it were a little further away, but it's not. And it's coming.
But we'll give you rundowns on conferences, strengths, who we think is going to be good. Things to look out for.
Well, we can skip the MAC, right?
No.
Yeah, no, we have to skip the MAC because it's all Northern. That's it. You're done. Don't even point.
The Husky Humas.
That's right. Don't even point. It's Northern Illinois, my friends.
But the Toledo Huskies.
Nope. Zip it. Give it. Da-da. When a problem comes along, you must zip it.
All right, my friend.
Huskies.
Yeah, that's so look forward to that next week. I'm excited about that. So, as I mentioned earlier, I am playing hurt because champions play hurt. And
that's right.
Matthew Sweet was last night.
It was.
You want to give me a little rundown or review?
Sure. We'll start with the opening act.
Yeah, all right.
They were a local band.
They were.
By the name of Sherwood Forest. So I'm not a big fan of the name of the band, but whatever. They were good.
Easy
they won us. They won us over.
They did.
We were, the first song was like, okay. They started with In the Air Tonight. They didn't do the whole song. They just did the beginning. And then they busted in one of their songs. So, all right, fine. But.
It was, you know what, I'll be honest. Yeah. Pairing those two on the bill.
Was good.
It was a good move.
It was solid.
They were younger kids that sounded like early 90s.
They did.
They were jangly.
Right up our alley.
Yeah.
Sure. The whole reason any of us were there. Was because it was 90s, right?
Right.
Sweet sound, whole nine yards.
Correct.
And they won us over. They were good.
Yeah.
Came about their EP in the old merch tent. And here's
you got to help out the kids
and then,
Chicago.
I always talk about when you go to a show, buy merch, right?
Right.
I did not. Now, the reason I did not is because they didn't really have anything available.
What you wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
I am a bigger man. They'd never have a t-shirt in my size. So I don't even look at them.
Right.
But the only album they had was the new one.
Correct.
And I think the one
on vinyl.
So I wanted to buy the vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have a record player yet, Joe?
No, not yet.
Okay.
And I'm scratching my head to figure out why he's got all Girlfriend, Altered Beast, 100% Fun. Where are all these albums?
Right.
Well, I found out today, they're re-releasing them all.
Mm.
That's why he didn't have them. They're not available yet. Okay.
On the better grade
vinyl. 180 gram vinyl.
Yeah.
And extra songs, bonus shit, the whole nine yards. So, all right.
Okay.
I'll let that slide.
All right.
So back to the show. The opening act, Sherwood Forest, pretty good. Won us over. Right there for us in terms of type of music. All good. Then Matthew Sweet comes out.
He's still coming out.
He's still coming out on the stage, folks. I'm making a joke here. He's not a small man anymore.
No.
No, he's like me. Well, bigger than me, which is big.
Time
if you're bigger
daily.
Than me, if you're bigger than me, you're
big lady.
Yeah, he was big, but sounded great.
He did.
He sounded amazing, and the band was pretty good. We had a problem with the opening act, and it wasn't the act; it was the sound.
Right.
We could not hear the lead guitar at all,
and we were standing right in front.
In front of it, and couldn't hear it.
It was weird.
It was very odd.
Yeah,
and so we're like, okay, well, maybe it was just opening act, sound guy, whatever.
Great. Yeah.
Boom, comes out, you can't hear the lead guitar.
No.
And we were like...
Until the encore.
Until the last two songs of the night.
He switched guitars.
And all of a sudden, oh, look. And they were the same style. They were both Telecasters. So it wasn't like a different style guitar.
No.
Maybe one had better pickups than the other one. I don't know. But you could actually hear him for the last two songs. Because the one thing about Matthew Sweet's music, it has that rip-roaring lead guitar usually.
Yes.
Because the song itself is very lushly produced. Matthew spends a lot of time, clearly.
Yeah.
making it all sound summery and California-y and everything else, right?
Yeah, and you know he's one of those guys that, like Tom Scholz, that just plays with sound in his basement, just trying to dial it in.
And then you have that lead guitar that, bam, punches you in the face, comes in and gives you the right hook, right?
Right.
While you're looking at, oh, look at all the sunny stuff. Bam, here comes the, and it wasn't there.
It wasn't.
And it, the lead guitarist wasn't that great either,
no,
quite frankly. But the show as a whole, I very much enjoyed.
Solid.
He played all the songs that I wanted to hear. His voice was terrific.
It really was.
He seemed a little
winded, tired.
Tired or
large.
Lackluster.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know. It wasn't a big crowd.
But it wasn't teeny tiny.
It wasn't embarrassing. I mean, we have mentioned this in the past that when we saw Jason Isbell at the Castle for the first time, there's 50 people there.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, it was an amazing show.
Yeah.
And they played like they were playing to 50,000 people.
And we've seen Jason Isbell at a coffee house.
Yeah.
And murder it. Now, again, it could be fatigue. He maybe is sick. Maybe there was he seemed a little slower.
He did. Right? Older, slower, Logy.
Yeah, Logy's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But again, his voice was great. He wasn't like missing notes or anything like that.
No, and when he talked, though, it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could tell his voice was a little straggly.
And that's what he was. Now that you say that, I remember that he mentioned that, I don't know if it was laryngitis or something with his throat.
Yeah.
And he seemed surprised that he was singing as well as he was.
Like, he's like, I'm singing much better than I'm talking.
Yeah, than I'm talking. Yeah.
And I don't know if stage fright is an issue with him. It could be. He could have a little stage fright.
I hadn't thought of that.
But like, he's been playing live for
30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he, in any of the live footage I've seen on YouTube.
No.
Even from cameras, and we're going to get to that in a minute. I haven't seen, he shows no signs of it. Like, he was more interactive. He seemed to have a lot of energy. Da 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 da, blah, 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 whatever. And he's about our age, roughly, right?
Right.
He's about our age. And so I'm like, I'm wondering.
It's funny because he's fat.
Yes. He's big. I'm sort of taken aback a bit. It's like when you saw Pat D'Anizio from
Smithereens. When he was ill.
When he wasn't himself.
Yeah.
You see pictures of him from the 80s, and he's literally, I'm holding a pen, he's that thick.
Yes.
And then you saw pictures of him towards the end, and he was big as me, bigger than me.
And that was health, I think. I mean,
he had a health issue or something. But. And I hope Matthew Sweet, for his sake, doesn't have that.
No.
He's just big.
I think he's just big.
But I mean, and he's about our age, I think.
And he had a big, like, Grizzly Adams beard going. It was a weird look.
It was a weird, he was wearing a long sleeve black shirt to kind of minimize the bigness.
As we do.
As I do all the time, which is fine. I wear big shirts all the time. But, and that's being nitpicky. That's being a music nerd.
Right.
And what concert nerd. And then I think overall I was entertained. My money is well spent. It was a great time. I had a great time.
Are you not entertained?
I am very entertained. Yes. Matthew Sweet was great. It was a great show. Could it have been a little bit better if the lead guitar player,
right?
You know, if that didn't ruin the show for me, but
no,
it certainly hampered. You had to really, as weird as this is to say, you really had to listen for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't punch you in the face like most Matthew Sweet lead sound does.
Correct.
You really had to listen for it.
And that was one of the things that surprised me. I had always assumed that he did all those leads.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the studio.
Yeah.
And no.
No,
he brings in a guy.
He's too busy knobbing.
Right. But, and he designed the sound. I mean, so he must tell people what he wants.
Yes, of course. He's like, okay, I want it, this guitar sound.
But he played rhythm the entire time.
On the same guitar.
Yeah.
And I have to figure out what kind of guitar it is, because it's a pretty sweet looking guitar.
It was different looking.
It was. It was
unique.
It was really cool. And it sounded fine. It sounded great.
It did.
Like I said, we're being nitpicky. We're being concert nerds right now.
Right.
But I thought it was an entertaining show. If you're not a concert nerd like us.
Yeah.
But now we're going to talk about concerts in general.
Right.
Okay.
What we look for, what we like.
What makes a good concert? What spoils a concert?
Oh, wait. Before we leave, I just want to tell you... The best song from last night for me was Time Capsule. He came out and opened with it, and my jaw was on the floor. That was it.
Right.
I was like, okay.
Okay, that's it.
You win.
You got me.
Like, yeah.
So what makes a good concert, and we talked about this on an earlier podcast, is when you go to a show, you're hoping to, there's a select three or four songs you're hoping to hear from the guy.
Right.
Right. Because everybody has like their three or four favorite songs that you're kind of hoping to hear. Like last night, I was hoping he'd play Someone to Pull the Trigger.
Right.
He did play that.
Yes.
I heard in the I had really had to take a leak. Like, I held it as long as I could. I'm like, God, shit. He played, what song did he play before that? He might have played
something new.
Winona. No, I think he played Winona.
Okay.
Off of Girlfriend.
That right.
You don't love,
yeah, yeah.
You don't love, that song.
That one.
I believe that's exactly the song he played.
No, okay. Winona.
And then and I'm like when that started, I'm like, oh, I really want to hear this. Okay, I'll wait till the next song. And then he played someone, like, God, I really have to go to the bathroom. So I heard it, but I just, whatever. But that's the song I was hoping to play. And everybody, when you go to a concert, like, let's get back on track.
Right.
You're hoping to hear the two or three songs you're familiar with that you love from bands you really love. That list expands a little bit.
Exactly. Depending on how long they've been around.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. And it was good last night. Matthew Sweet hit all. I think he played Girlfriend. He played Time Capsule. He played Someone to Pull the Trigger. He played.
I've Been Waiting.
I've Been Waiting. What's the other song off Altered Beast that he played? The other song, the hit. It'll come back to me later.
Divine Intervention?
Yes. Well, that's on Girlfriend, but he played that too. But yeah, exactly.
Right.
He hit all the bases to leave the fans happy.
And then played enough of the new stuff to keep him and the band happy, correct. I think. Yeah. I mean, that's really he the trade-off that you see.
Ones. Yeah. Played four or five new ones.
Which they were
is,
fine.
Which is kind of, I've gone to enough concerts to understand the format of the concert a little bit. You come out with the hit, boom, get them hooked in, new one.
Right.
Hit, couple new ones. Another hit, couple new ones, and then hits to the end.
Hits to the end.
Right. That's kind of the format of most concerts I've been to. Is you
recently for sure.
Yeah. Is there's a format to them, is that you play the early stuff or the new stuff early,
mm-hmm.
get it out of the way, quote unquote, right?
Right.
Because you want to play it to promote your album, but
career. It's the freshest thing for you.
Right. Keeps you interested.
Yes.
Exactly. And then you go back and you play the hits, which is fine. I leave them happy, man. Leave them clapping.
And as far as the new stuff goes, Tom and we reviewed that album not too long ago.
Yep.
And
right, Tom? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his opinion of it has completely changed. It's a multi-listen album. He says he loves it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe it'll grow on me.
Yeah. Last night he was like, you should have bought that album on vinyl. And I'm like, I don't like just buying new stuff I've never heard on vinyl. Like,
yeah.
Because that's an investment.
It is.
Especially when you don't have a player. I mean, like, once I get a player, obviously, but.
Right.
Like, a new record is like $30.
Yeah.
You know, $25, $30. It better be something that I'm going to listen to, that I know I'm going to listen to.
Right.
To put that kind of money into it for a new copy.
Mm-hmm.
So, other good things that make a good show is the crowd.
Right.
You don't want to be around Chatty McChatterson.
No.
You don't want to be around people who are there to hear one song.
Yeah.
Because they're just
whatever the new hit was.
They don't give a shit and they're just going to talk throughout the whole fucking concert or whatever.
I was at the Riv and Richard Thompson was playing a slow ballad.
Yeah.
And the guy behind me just, you know, got there from work and just yapping about crap, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But you just want to turn around, shut up. Why did you come here?
Right.
I didn't pay to come and hear you talk to your friend.
No, absolutely not. Right. Exactly. And that's you want the rest of the crowd to be as engaged as you are.
Right.
That's what you hope. Right.
Correct.
And you want them to sound good. You want the crowd to be good and you want them to play the songs you came to hear. That's the basis for a good concert to me.
I've got another one for you. Okay. For the people that just come to hear one song.
Yeah.
I saw Clapton on the tour where Phil Collins played drums for him.
The August tour?
Yeah. And the hit single at the time was a song from Color of Money.
Yeah, the way that you use it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He didn't play it.
Not surprised. He's Eric Clapton, brother.
I was so happy. I mean, that was like... I wanted to see that show. I was so excited, yeah. And I'm like, that's the only song that's gonna suck to have to sit through.
Right,
and you didn't play it, and there were so many people that went just to hear
it. Right, like, oh, I can't believe you didn't play
that. Suck on that. So that was great.
Right, exactly. So all that is the basis for a good concert when you have all those things meshed together.
Right, the energy, the vibe, you're giving it back.
It's almost a religious experience.
It is.
You have all those things click.
Right.
Like the last time I saw Wilco,
everybody,
it was nuts.
Tom got my ticket for that because I was sick.
You were. Ill. Ill communication. Not ill like, oh, cool, but ill like seriously vomiting. Like that's what it was. So that's what makes a good concert. When all those things click. Now, what makes a bad concert? You can take just the opposite of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't play any songs you came to hear, right?
Right.
And they only play the new stuff or select songs from their past that you don't want to hear.
Right.
A disengaged crowd. A lot of talking.
The worst.
Bad sound.
Mm.
Drive-by truckers.
Mm.
I walked out of Dave Matthews Band when I was younger. When Under the Table started, they really broke.
Mm-hmm.
They played the World Music Theater.
Uh-huh.
The first two bands were great. Freddie Jones Band, you could hear everything. Ben Harper could hear everything.
Yeah.
The minute Dave Matthews came on, it was a muddy mud skipper mess, and we walked out.
Wow.
You left to the crowd aspect of it or the band aspect of it, the songs that they play. You guys walked out of Dawes.
We did.
Like Tommy, right? Tommy, you guys walked, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we
walked out of Dawes.
Well, it was billed as an evening with Dawes, right?
Meaning no opening act. Whenever you hear an evening with, that usually means no opening
act. Right. So really it's like two concerts in one.
Yeah.
And these guys like took an intermission and we stayed for like the first two songs of the second set. And we were out. We just had enough. We were over Dawes. I mean, we heard the songs we wanted to hear, and we're like,
Did they play If I Wanted Someone?
Yes.
Well, then, yeah. That's...
That was the last song we heard before we booked.
Then, gotta go by.
Yeah. And that was a weird... And it's interesting. You mentioned a crowd that's, engaged and mm-hmm. into it and mm-hmm. loving it.
Mm-hmm.
But... if it's more than you, sometimes that's disconcerting. I mean, I like Dawes. Mm-hmm. I don't love Dawes. I don't know really enough about them.
Right.
I love the sound. I love the idea.
Sure.
I mean, they bring back the Laurel Canyon sound,
yep.
which I think is amazing.
It is.
Anyway, the crowd there like knew every word to every song, and they were just so into it. I felt a little kind of out of place. I'm like, hey, man, I kind of like these guys. I'm just here to kind of dig it. But it was so crowded, and everybody was like so more into it than Tom and I were that night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other reason we kind of booked. It was like, well, maybe this isn't for us.
So you're the problem.
Right?
Another thing over the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever, since the smartphones came out.
Oh, yeah.
Is people recording for YouTube. Now, don't get me wrong. I like finding nuggets on YouTube, right? Of songs, like covers that bands do. Like Jason Isbell did a cover a night when he did his Ryman thing, and all those are on YouTube.
Right.
It's cool to hear.
Right.
But it is irritating as piss.
It is.
All the people around you are on their phones.
Right. And like you said, for pictures or video recording, yeah, but it's like being at the movies and somebody being on their phone.
It's exactly the same.
It's distracting.
It's
God, we sound like old fuckers.
True, but I mean, it's fact.
Yeah,
like it's having all these, here's an example. When Matthew Sweet did We're the Same,
mm-hmm.
the guy in front of me, now granted, we were on a tier. The way the Castle Theater is constructed, there's tiers, right?
Right.
So you have like the floor, like, well, I'll call it the pit, but it's not really the pit. And then there's like a level and then another level, and then it staggers up.
It used to be a movie theater, correct. So that's why.
Yeah. we were on the rail, like on at the edge of the tier below us, and the guy, he just pulls out his phone and puts it literally in front of my face. He just goes boop, and then you can't see this on the podcast, but I'm doing my hands raised in the air. That's him. He can't even see the screen that he's taping because it's in my face, and I cannot see
anything. Yeah.
I can't see a fucking thing.
Yeah. There were a couple douchey people there last night.
There were. Well, there's a couple. That's another thing, too. Amount of douchey people.
Yeah.
If there's a lot of douchebags.
Oh, man.
Spoil just ruins it.
That guy was trying to get laid so hard. It was just annoying. Comes up, asks us if we're using all three stools. We tell him yes, and he grabs one anyway. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing,
right,
buddy?
Right.
This girl's not going home with you. Get out of here.
No shot.
No shot.
You got no shot.
Yeah, so what else is annoying? Yeah, that whole scenario where you're standing. You know, do you have a good access to the bar? Can you get to the bathroom when you need to? I mean,
I love the spot that we had.
Yeah, last night. That was ideal.
We were close enough. Easy path to the bathroom.
Yep.
We were, I don't know,
20, had stools if we 20 needed feet. Them.
I sat on the stool all night.
Yeah.
But if you didn't want to, you didn't have to. And it was delightful. And a lot of it too is also another knock is the venue.
Yeah.
Bad sound will ruin a concert.
Correct.
Don't get me wrong. But there's also the venue itself that can ruin it.
Yeah.
Bathroom accessibility.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the Riv earlier. I'll never go back there. I'll never go back to the Aragon Ballroom.
I went to the Riv to see Wilco.
Yeah.
I will not go back to the Aragon Ballroom.
I'm with you.
No shot. That place sucks.
I'm just too old.
It just sucks.
Yeah.
Not that I'm too old. It sucks.
Yeah.
The sound in there is atrocious.
It's dirty and it stinks.
It's the neighborhood. I mean, the neighborhood's improving, but it's still, the neighborhood's not great. Same thing for the Riv. They're right around the corner from each other.
They are.
So, I mean, yeah, no. Like, I'd much rather go to the Vic or Metro. Oh,
and that's it.
Yeah. In Chicago.
Yeah.
It's the Vic or the Metro.
Park West, I don't mind.
It's in a bad spot.
It's in a bad spot.
Not bad neighborhood.
No.
It's in a great neighborhood.
Yeah, but it's hard to park.
It's nowhere to park. Access to it's kind of shit.
Yeah, and the seating in there is kind of tough, but the sound is phenomenal.
It sounds great in there. Yeah, for sure. When we saw DBT there, it was incredibly
good. And I saw Nick Lowe there. And
I saw Bob Mould there.
Outstanding.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
You know, and then, like we said, bad venues like Aragon, Riv.
Well, and think about kind of where we're at age-wise and how long we've been going to see concerts. When I started, every concert I wanted to see or went to see was in a huge stadium.
Yeah, it was the Horizon.
Yeah, it was the Horizon. Yeah. That's right. I saw U2. Yeah. I saw...
Or UIC Pavilion.
I saw Journey.
I saw U2. I saw U2 at the Pavilion. Yeah. UIC Pavilion is another one.
REM. I saw it.
Didn't see REM.
Oh.
That's my one regret of concert going.
I saw him.
In Clapton, but.
At Assembly Hall in Champaign.
That'd been sweet.
Yeah, they cut it in half. I mean, this was for the document tour, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. And he was sick. Michael Stipe was sick that night, but good show.
Yeah, for sure.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But then I saw him again at.
Yeah.
At the Horizon.
Yeah. And another problem is this, like, I'll use the Chicago Theater as an example.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is everything's downstairs.
Yes.
So like, well, if you want to get a beer, there was, when we saw Wilco.
Okay.
Really the only place to buy beer, you had to go downstairs.
Okay. It was when I saw, Noel Gallagher there.
Yeah.
They had, like in the Loge area, they had beer stands up there.
Right.
So I don't know if they changed it or.
But for Wilco, it was all in the basement.
Wow.
Bathrooms were in the basement, I think, too.
That was weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were remodeling or something.
I don't know.
But I love that place for a show. I can't wait to go back.
Me neither. I can't wait. Hopefully something good plays there.
I mean, it's $50 to park if you want to park. Near the venue.
I lucked out and stayed.
Oh, that's
there.
Right.
And I took the train.
That night, that was smart.
And I took the train. So, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. But if I have a parking pass downtown now, so if I need to park, I just park in the garage. And it's my job. My office is three blocks from the Chicago Theater.
It's not far at all.
So, yeah, I got a little parking pass. Go beep, park my car, skate. We're in a really, like, our office is in an incredible location. And they, you know.
Right on.
Yeah.
Are you fully moved from Northbrook?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're fully downtown now.
All right.
We're right by House of Blues. It's not that far at all. House of Blues is another great venue.
It is.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's been a long time since I've been there.
Yeah, I think we went there. I think Vertical Horizon, right?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. But House of Blues is a cool venue. That's another aspect too, is access, right? Parking.
Right.
Is it easy to get to? Is it not? Is it in a reasonable neighborhood? Can you get in and out? Are there restaurants around it, bars around it, so that way you don't have to sit there and, you know, pay $10 a beer
when right.
you first go in.
You
go
can pregame
to,
and
go to the bar, pregame a little bit, have yeah. one or two there at the show. Like, that's the nice thing about Castle is there's a couple places around it,
right,
bar wise, where you can go and pregame. Our preference is Rosie's,
but, yes,
which is around the block from it. It's pretty. It's actually literally in the same block, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just on the other side of the block. It's
yes.
like behind the theater. That's a great little joint, too.
But it is.
All that, you know, going to a concert is more about, there's more to it than just the show. For me, anyway.
Right.
Right? It's the experience. It's did I have to drive a kajillion miles to get there? Do I have a place to park? Do I have a place to eat? Do I have a place to have a couple of two-tree beers? And then is the show good?
Right.
Right.
And then the merch.
And the merch.
And one of the biggest jokes about me is I always buy
yes.
the opening bands.
Almost always.
Almost always.
Almost always.
I mean, I think I can count on one hand the times I haven't. So.
But.
I find a lot of great people that way.
Right. For sure. And you know, to go back to the Matthew Sweet show from last night as we taped this. You know, was the lead guitar player too quiet? Yeah. You know. Overall, the ambience of the place, everybody was into them.
Right.
We had a great spot. The sound, other than the lead guitar, was really good. You could hear Matthew Sweet singing. Da, 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 da,
all hot that bartender.
Included. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all of it, baby.
It all fits in, man. It yeah. all fits in. So please contact us.
Yeah.
And let us know if there's any shows that you've seen that, you know, like a band, for example. I'll give you my horror story. Was Dave Matthews.
Right.
Like I said, I walked out two songs in. You know, stuff like that. Like, was it a bad venue? Was it the crowd? Was it any other extenuating circumstances?
And conversely, your favorite shows.
Yeah, for sure. Like, another example I can give real quick is I went to go see Lollapalooza, the second real one.
They're
all real.
It was still Perry Farrell.
It was
though.
Perry Farrell touring the country.
Yeah.
Right. So, I got. The sound was, it was so loud. I got a migraine.
Wow.
Like ridiculously painful to the point I had somebody come pick me up.
Wow.
Because my head was
like
just
dizzy.
Yeah.
Nauseous.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was hot. Like, it was a combination of all that.
The worst.
And Ministry was the second end act, right?
Okay.
Chili Peppers headlined. Ministry was second.
Okay.
And Ministry's from Chicago.
They are.
So they were pumped, ready to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I'm in the common area, whatever you want to call it, like where you go get beers and shit like that. I'm
sure.
I got on a payphone, called somebody to come pick me up.
That's how long ago, folks.
That's how long ago it was. Payphones. And I look over my shoulder to the lawn area, right? And all I see is sod. Being thrown.
Really?
Chunks of sod.
Kneel Before Sod.
All over the place.
Crazy.
So they did their first song. They did Just One Fix. Al had to stop.
And tell people to stop.
Stop throwing. You're going to get us kicked out of here. Stop throwing it. So their second song was NWO, New World Order song, NWO.
Mm-hmm.
Not the wrestling group, the song New World Order. Like, they go right back to throwing it again. They're like, oh, okay, get me the hell out of here. Like, it's that kind of concert experiences like that that are just like Suckville. Like the first Lollapalooza that I went to that at the World Music Theater, Twitter Center, Midwest Bank Place thing. Was great. The sound, it was a hot day.
Yeah.
It was pretty humid. Acts were great. Crowd was great. Sound was good. You know, and then it poured rain just before Jane's Addiction came on. And the sun was setting and the clouds all cleared up. It was kind of magical in a way. And then Jane's took the stage and it's nice and cool. It had a cool down tremendous, like 15 degrees drop temperature. The humidity went gone. It was amazing. And like I said, between the sunset, the sound was great. Everything was great. Yeah, that can make a show. That's the kind of stuff that you remember.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I other than Sears not getting into the internet game like they should have,
yeah.
The other enormous blunder that I will hate them for the rest of my life is buying Poplar Creek.
Oh, yeah, that, I love that place.
That venue.
I mean, it was 1,000 miles from my house.
Yeah.
Where I grew up.
Yeah, it was relatively close for me. It wasn't right up 59, yeah.
But for me, it was... Might as well been in Canada.
But the sound at that place
was amazing.
Yeah. And yeah. It was like being at Wrigley with, you know, not a bad seat in the joint.
No.
You could hear it from the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and back when we were younger, we liked to be in the lawn because it was cheaper.
Sure.
And
yeah.
A lot of shenanigans going on out there. But yeah. The number of shows, I've told you this before, I saw The Replacements open for Tom Petty there. Oh. And that was just killer.
Oh, man. No, I killer saw show. The two biggest shows I saw there were Yes.
Oh.
On the 90125 tour.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I remember they closed with Starship Trooper and the lighting rig started coming down. It was the Yes. There was the logo.
Nice.
You know, the Y with the three colors in it. That was pretty sweet.
That is.
And then Metallica on the Injustice for All tour. I saw them there.
Wow.
Ridiculous. They were ridiculous. And that was when like they had the stage where they built up the Lady Justice from the cover of Injustice for All, and then at the end it tore down.
That's cool.
Like fell down during it was solid. It's stuff like that you remember.
Yeah, man.
It's great shows like that you remember. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, Poplar Creek was a great venue.
I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan there twice, and the first time he was still heroined out, and I hate to say this, man, but I think I felt like he played better then than when after he cleaned up and came back. And it was just
a lot of people say that
he was a different dude. I mean, he was wearing like a green sequence jacket the second time with the big like peacock feather in his hat and playing behind his head and doing all that. And before he had his back to the crowd and his head down and was just playing. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I've seen Stevie. I was lucky enough to see him before he was killed.
And speaking of that, do you remember that day?
Yeah, vividly.
Yeah, as do I, because it was at Alpine Valley.
Yep.
And they were there for Clapton's guitar like summit.
Yep.
That he did for a while. He called it Crossroads, right?
That wasn't Crossroads.
Oh, okay.
I think it was just Clapton playing with a bunch of his friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the news that came out first was that Clapton was in the helicopter when it went down.
That there was a helicopter crash involving Clapton.
Right. And everybody was like, oh my God, oh my God. Right. And then it was like, well, he wasn't in it, but Stevie Ray Vaughan was. And you're like, oh, Clapton's not dead, but Stevie Ray Vaughan is
dead.
But I still, I don't know. I feel guilty over the sense of relief I had, I guess.
Right.
When
And when it happened, I was pretty torn up.
And I
remember playing Riviera Paradise. Like just played that song because it's like an 8-minute song and it's all just him. There's no singing. It's just instrumental. Yeah. And going, man, this fucking sucks.
Tin Pan Alley, man. That's my jam. That's just
But man, that was a tough day. But Alpine Valley, going back to terrible venues.
Yeah.
Terrible to get in and out of.
Yeah.
I will never go back to that place. It ain't happening.
It would take something pretty special.
I
mean, the last time I was there it was Stone Steel Wheels. In 89.
I was there too.
Yeah. And I don't think I've been back since.
No.
Well, no.
I went to
a bunch of shows.
I went to Monsters of Rock on Senior Ditch Day because I was a metal guy, like I said, in high school. So that was a blast. And the venue sucks. It's terrible.
It is.
And it's funny how much Pearl Jam loves that place.
It's weird.
And Dave Matthews loves that place. And just Radiohead loves it. Like
I'll tell you what I dislike about it and where I would rate the world and or the Twitter Center or whatever the hell it's called now.
Yeah.
Above that place and Poplar Creek above that place. The slope and the hill that incline is crazy. Dangerous. It's like
it's borderline dangerous. And
it's like straight down. And if it's rained, you're fucked.
You are. And not only that, but that's how you get into the pavilion.
Yeah.
Like there's no other.
Yeah, no.
You got to go down that fucking hill to get to the pavilion.
Correct.
I'm like, look, my last experience there, and I'll share this with everybody. I went to go see Rush.
Okay.
On the Presto tour with the bunny rabbits and the lions, right?
Turn around and turn around and turn
around. That's right. And it rained the entire time on the way to the show. So we're in the car. It's me and three of my buddies. We're in the car.
You're thinking, Jesus.
This is fucking terrible.
Did you put garbage bags on?
I wish. But we were in the pavilion. We lucked out and bought pavilion seats. But it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. And Mr. Big opened for him, right?
Right.
Of course.
Sure.
And Mr. Big plays. It's still raining. Mr. Big stops. It stops raining. No more rain. Does not rain a drop while Rush is playing. Not a fucking drop. The minute Rush stops playing, it rains again. That parking lot was like a tractor pull with a mud bog. We had to push our car, a front-wheel drive car, out.
Wow.
Because it couldn't get out of the muck. And I swore then, and I've held up to that swearing since, I will never go back to that place.
Wow.
They could reanimate George Harrison and John Lennon. give me a free fucking ticket, and I still wouldn't go.
That's not true.
That's probably not true, but close to it. It would take something of that magnitude.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
You know, like, I wouldn't go there to see the Stones. I wouldn't go there to see Radiohead. I wouldn't go there to see any of the big acts. Like, I wouldn't go there to see Rush. I wouldn't go there to see a reunited REM. I wouldn't go there to see Drive-By Truckers for some reason if they were ever to play there. Isbell, no shot. There's no band out right now to get me to go there.
Oasis for me.
Yeah.
I would do
if
that.
Oasis reunited.
If they reunited and only played at Alpine Valley,
yeah,
like within three states, I'd
all
go.
Right. All right. But what if
that would be it.
But let me throw this out there.
All right.
What if they were playing in Indianapolis?
No.
The night before.
Then I'd go to Indianapolis.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured.
Yeah.
Right. But if it was their only show, they played
like in within states. Three states.
Yeah, if it was that the only show. They played like somewhere in New York.
Yes.
Alpine Valley and somewhere in California.
Yeah.
You'd go to the show. All right. That's fair. I would not.
Yeah,
have fun.
Right.
Hey, can you get me a vinyl of Tiffany Haven while you're there? I'm a big 180-gram vinyl. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. It's about that time.
It is about that time. Clock on the wall says.
We'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of It's That Podcast, episode 27. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/itsthatpod. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at Jace, the letter, Sleet Shirley. You can email us. Please do. Let us know your concert experiences. My email address is joe@itsthatpodcast.com. Jason is jason@itsthatpodcast.com. You can find us on the Apple Podcasts. You can find us on the Google Podcasts. You can find us on the Stitcher and the Spotify and the Podbean app. We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we see you next time on It's That Podcast.